Then, do we have any public comment?
Public?
No. No, you never on public. Any changes to the agenda?
No, I have none.
If none, then we have the minutes from our meeting a year ago. Does anyone want to make a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? Okay, and the next is, you're up, Ron.
Oh, okay, cool. Hope you all had a chance to look at this. The budget narrative, I think, really kind of explains where we're at. I will go back and take a look at the variances so you can kind of see where how this year looks like it's going to turn out. And you'll see on the budget by building all the comparisons between what this budget looks like, what the forecast looks like for this year compared to the budget last year, and then what the differences are between the current budget proposal and the current year budget. So hopefully that kind of puts everything in perspective as far as what we're dealing with for the next year. The big issue that we have to deal with is this the IT services lease that we have in the Morgan building. That is only going to have 6 months of revenue this year. They're supposed to be out at the, I believe it's at the end of March. They may extend month to month, but I didn't want to put anything in the budget that, you know, we weren't certain about. I have had conversation with them. There is a possibility that we'll get one more month out of that lease, which is, would be good to, you know, give us a little buffer. And then SBDC also, if you recall, canceled their lease and moved out May 31st, so that, you know, that's another $30,000 with a lease revenue lost. And then Sunnyland also is gone. Actually, all of their property has been removed. No more solar sausages on the property or fence. It's all, it's clean as a whistle. It's pretty cool. Looks a lot better than
it. That's good. A lot of people just leave their stuff behind.
Yeah, we well, the good news was that there was a personal guarantee in that deal to for the removal of all that property. So, yeah. But JT was very good about getting all that taken care of, and matter of fact, he stopped by and made sure we were happy with it before he signed the check for the guys that removed the stuff. So that worked out okay. We still have the issue of CAM fees for them. We'll have to prorate CAM fees for the year and try to collect that. So, but that's actually in this year's budget. So we made some other adjustments with the EEP program, for example. We thought we were going to get some grant funds this year. We're not. It's going to actually roll into this upcoming year, which is good. We've got the contract signed, and that's $15,000 a year for the next 3 years. The obviously interest income is up because of, you know, rising interest rates, which is good. We also shifted funds around to try to take advantage of the higher returning investment in Florida Prime versus SPIA. We moved as much as we could at the time, and so we're maximizing there. And again, just a reminder about the Phipps building, that lease ends in 2022. They have an option to extend for another 5 years at a much reduced rate that'll cost us about $100,000 a year. We talked about that last year. So we have to always keep that in mind.
When can they execute that if they want to do that?
I believe it's probably only 90 days, I think, before.
Is this office space or what?
It's the DOT building, mm-hmm. Where they have the pendulum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they do the bridge structures research. So I can't imagine. I mean,
why wouldn't they do it?
You know, as a matter of fact, you'll see also that there's a $20,000 hit in this upcoming budget. They have asked to have the building repainted, which tells me they're looking at the lease, because once that $100,000 reduction hits, they're responsible for all the maintenance.
Okay.
The lease has a provision in it that after 10 years we were required to paint it. I'm trying to get them to accept not doing the whole building, because the building actually looks fine. It's just the soffit and the fascia. Mm-hmm. There's like a metal piece that kind of goes around the top. So Stephanie went out and got some quotes on the whole building at 20. I don't know if you where you want
to
go.
Yeah, and then I've got two contractors that went out there last week, so I should be getting the bids to just do the pieces.
So once we have all that together, we'll go in and try to beg and plead and just say, you know, let's do this, and if we need to come back, you know, before the the 5-year option term of 2022, and if we have to do the whole building, then we will. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's holding up for a while, so we'll see what we get then. But we went ahead and put the full 20. In there, and we'll see what happens.
Not to belabor this point, but just like taking it to its logical conclusion, if they opt to go for that 5-year like extreme reduced rent after that 5 years, are we just going to like put the price right back?
We'll be back in negotiations on that.
Okay, because I almost think like, I mean, if they plan, I mean, if they're going to be around for the long term, I mean, is there a way to like somewhere in the middle, you know what I mean? It's like, look, you're going to get a great 5-year deal, and you ain't going to get a great deal long term, right?
Yeah.
Or we could just do, hey, why don't you do a 10-year? Maybe you're already thinking of that. But.
And I have, and I think that's a great idea. I think that I think we're going to have to get a little bit closer before we have any real urgency to get that done. I think they're just going to probably wait and see. I don't think they'll want to renegotiate anything at this point. But
right.
Yeah, probably when we get within a year, I think it might make sense to go ahead and take a look at that and see what we can get done.
What was the rationale in the first place?
I wish I knew. You know, I think they just needed to provide some incentives. I think it's, honestly, it's very similar to some of the leases we did with FSU and FAMU on some of these other buildings, which is kind of the philosophy that our lease revenue is paying for the building. So they did, you know, bonds to pay for the building. So they figured that once the bonds were paid off and they're, you know, they've paid for the building, then we ought to get a break, because what, you know, what's your incremental cost after all of that? So I think that was the rationale. And I think the people who negotiated it knew they weren't going to be around in 2022 to have to deal with the ramifications of it. So they kicked that down the road. I don't know. That's my best guess. Is it was just the incentive they needed to get the deal. But yeah, again, it's a matter of what leverage we'll have at that point in time. It's kind of a specialized facility. Certainly, the Pendulum is, and I don't know what alternatives they would have to do that. What would be their cost to move, and you know, all those issues. But we ran into a similar situation with Department of Ag with their kitchen in the Collins building.
Right.
They moved everybody else out but the kitchen, because they put that investment into the kitchen and couldn't find any comparable space anywhere else that they weren't going to have to redo all of that. So hopefully that'll be enough incentive for them to in the Phipps building to renegotiate. So.
$2 a square foot?
Yeah.
Wow.
So as you're saying, basically it'd be a matter of how do we you know, bridge the gap, no pun intended, bridge the gap between the current market rates and that $2, and maybe spread it over a long term, and they still get benefit of it, but we don't feel whacked all at once. So.
Right. Right.
Sure. Anything else on that? So some of the other adjustments that we had to make, you know, we only had Michael's salary in there for 9 months last year, and we'll have 12 this year. We did go ahead and build in some increases in salaries, 3.7% for me, which has been typical, and obviously the executive committee will have to take a look at that, which they will at the next meeting, as you all have seen evaluations. And but I've also built in a 4% increase for staff. Again, the increase in utilities is because of the, you know, IT services moving out. We've kind of seen a pattern on when, you know, how much square foot's occupied, and can kind of guesstimate on what's going to happen with utility rates. Then there's the $20,000 on the maintenance and repairs. We are going to go ahead and update some signage at the Levy and Potsdamer entrances. They still have the old logos and stuff, so if you call it, those look like they're just the metal signs. So we're going to make those consistent with our two monument signs.
I did get my first hard numbers for those.
Okay, good. So we know all of the signage needs updated, so we're just going to try to pick off as much as we can within the budget constraints as we go. It's not, I prefer to do it all at once, but we'll just kind of pick and choose what we do.
So Ron, other than this, okay, so we have the Phipps building that has this big cliff. Other buildings have cliffs like this?
No, not that I'm aware of that anything comparable. We do have some deferred maintenance items that we have listed on one of the sheets that kind of gets into some of that. I think the biggest maintenance issues we've got to get hit with are the parking lots. Mm-hmm. They're all in need of resurfacing. I don't know when the last time was that was done. I think what we really need to do is start talking to FSU and FAMU because of the Shaw building, the Sliger building, and Centennial, they're all connected. So it might make sense for us to maybe all work together and try to come up with some deal with a vendor to do that work and maybe get a better price because we've done it all at once. Plus it would kind of be weird to have, you know, this section done, and especially Centennial when they kind of share a driveway. You know, half the driveway would be done and the other half not.
Ron, you were saying that on the painting, the Phillips building, there's some upside there, right? If you just paint the eaves.
Yes.
Or $20,000 may not be spent, right?
Correct. We do, the person that's driving that has been pretty adamant about following the letter of the contract.
I would if I was in, I know. Yeah. Because it looks good today, but 3 years from now.
Yeah, and I was going to offer up that we would actually do something formal that by the end of, you know, that term, if we don't renegotiate something, that we would have some provision that we'd be forced to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously, but again, if it's got 5 year life on it,
right.
If it's only got 5 years left on the term,
yeah,
you know, it's just
yeah,
is what it is. So on the maintenance side, and I'll show you that deferred maintenance piece here in a minute. But administrative expenses were Michael with Michael here. He's got some things that he's doing with the I-Corps program, the SBIR, CTR training, and so we just have some expenses related to that. And then also, we're planning on a couple of events that Denise is working on, again, based on, you know, trying to get more community out here and mm-hmm. and do that. I increased travel expenses by $2,100 to accommodate Michael. And I'll show you that detail a little bit down here because I want to try to get the travel is really mostly around the chamber conference and which is about for two of us to go is like $2,600 mm-hmm. and then with trying to get Denise and Michael to be able to go do some training conference or something so and then marketing PR. There's no Discovery on Parade, is my understanding. That's
really?
Still the case this upcoming year. Yeah.
Interesting.
But we left money in the budget for things like things to discuss, basically, in strategic planning, which is to look at things that Denise was considering, like a promotional video, social digital ads with like Google, for example, both PR and also just marketing the park and space, so she wants to get a little more intentional about that. And just some other, you know, that's, you know, a few thousand dollars that the board can decide how we want to do that when we get into strategic planning, because I know marketing is going to be a big focus of that strategic planning session. And then TAL course expenses went down as a result of the RFP. And property insurance, we do have a proposal, and it's going up 2.3%, about $1,300. Most of that because you have rising property values, building values, and other property values that come from that. It's probably the most reasonable we've seen in a while when it has gone up. And then we also know that we do expect the workers' comp to go down next year. If you've seen in the paper, they're looking like a 13.5% reduction. The capital budget, I put the $1.8 million back in there for the Collins Building renovation. It was in last year's budget. We didn't get there, but we're going to get there this year. The RFQ is out. We have an evaluation committee meeting next week for the architect who's going to do the design criteria package that will then be put out to bid for design build team. So that project is moving along. And then traditionally we've had units go down, HVAC units go down, and that's kind of where we've been. Actually, this year I think we're at $20,000, I think. So when you look at the budget by building, these numbers, when you look at the proposed budget versus the current year budget all the way on the right-hand column, you can kind of see where those variances happen, and that's a result of all the things that we talked about in the narrative.
And are we putting money aside for reserves?
No. Our reserve is basically the approximately $4 million that we have in the bank.
In the bank.
Yeah, and then that'll be obviously reduced by the
1.8. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's a challenge, obviously. I mean, it's been a challenge since I've gotten here, is that there just hasn't been any extra funds, and there's really not a lot in here to cut.
Right.
And we've got the... you should sit in on the meetings with Stephanie and I when we're talking about maintenance repairs and all those. And so we're negotiating, because I'm explaining to her that your pad of dollars, in case something, the worst case happens, takes away from our ability to do anything else. And so we get a little heated on what's real and what's not. It's a friendly heated discussion. but we really look hard at those numbers and try to make sure that we don't have any too much of a pad in there. So, and you can see when you look at the comparison between the forecast and this year's budget, we're pretty close. So when you look, you know, utilities, you know, within $1,000, maintenance we didn't know that IT services was going to happen, which drove up the utility costs. So, maintenance and repairs. Now, some of this we manage, so we'll, you know, we'll be very tight early in the year, and as we get to the end of the year, we go, okay, here's how much money we got left. What do we need to get done now? And we try to get that done so we're not pushing it into the next year. Mm-hmm. So we do manage that a little bit, particularly on maintenance repairs. Services tends to be all contractual relationships. So you'll see on the contracts, there's a contracts page in there that lists every contract that we have, and we put in actual numbers for those contracts based on what we know going forward. Any increases that we know about coming up, it's all in there. And that process has made budgeting a lot easier, because those are big dollars in there.
Have we thought at all about, like, bonding for some of these expenses? Like, instead of just like a direct transfer from our reserves for, you know, the accelerator project. I mean, that's something that we have the capacity to do, right?
We do, but there has to be revenue to back it. And I've had conversations with Hancock about this, just in kind of general terms, to say, you know, what would it take? The problem is we don't have a lot of long-term leases. Mm-hmm. So these year-to-year leases, it's really hard to bond that, because there's no, you know, guaranteed future revenue stream. So they were able to bond, you know, things like the Sligo and Shaw and those others, because they had long-term leases with the universities, and the lenders are willing to bond that kind of stuff, but the short-term stuff, not so much.
So just a letter saying we're good for it, that they're just not going to take that?
No, because we.
Even from Paul? Paul's got
yeah.
It's a trustworthy guy.
Yeah, and there's some stuff in there about not being able to, you know, that we basically have to rely on the assets of the authority, and the county's, you know, kind of off limits as far as them securing any of our debts. So.
Right. Okay.
So, Ron, just real quick, you know, we're going to spend $1.8 million this year on capital.
That's just the remodel on Collinsville.
What about like the next year? Are we going to expect to spend the same amount?
No. No, as a matter of fact, if you look, and we can jump down there, but if you look down at...
I mean, 2020, not 2020.
Yeah, yeah. So if you look at page 12. Okay. That's the capital projects. Okay, so this
so
was.
Deck.
So this was. I'm sorry.
I was just saying it's the last page.
Okay. So this is what we had budgeted for 2017-18. And so the Collins remodel was 1.8. We didn't spend it because we didn't get there on the procurement. We were busy trying to lure a couple of tenants in, and those ended up not happening. But we had $185,000 for the trail. We had the restroom renovations that we did. So you can kind of see we really, if you throw out the 1.8, which was just because of timing, we were within 20 grand, actually right there about 20 grand. We were over a little bit, as I said, on the HVAC. We did 20 grand there. So net, you take out the 1.8, we were actually 15,000 to the good.
The only reason I was asking, because we have this baseline reserve, this $4 million, next year we put a 1.8 million. If the revenue is not coming in every year, we start eating into that if we don't create the right level of revenue.
Correct. Yeah. And so that's my recommendation, is we don't eat into that reserve anymore.
Yeah.
For capital projects until we have a solid revenue source that we can make sure that our budget's going to balance, especially looking forward at the FIPS deal. And if they're not willing to renegotiate that, then we're going to eat that every year too.
Yeah.
So for 5 years, there's $500,000 right there. So
yeah.
Have you projected what the revenue potential of a renovated Collins building would be?
I have. I did it last year. I didn't update it this year. I can pull that up. But yeah, it's
good, bad, or indifferent.
It's good. As a matter of fact, I do have that handy. I can kind of show you what we did.
Right. Also, remember that sometime toward the end of next year, there may be a need for about 100 seats for Van Foss also for 6 months or so.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. I think it was just a matter of timing with. When IT services moves out and when you need it, I think is the issue. Well, here it is, revenue potential. So we looked at the Morgan and we looked at with marginal costs. And again, at that point, we thought we had 14,000 square feet. As it turns out, we leased most of that because of IT services. But here's the Collins building revenue. And this is assuming that everyone moves out of Knight over to Collins, including us. And we came up with a margin of $180,000 just for the Collins building. So. Oh, actually, I have it in this one, but I didn't change anything on that. But this also reflects the potential loss of $100,000. So,
and this year, legislatively, we're going after money for the accelerator as well, right?
So right,
not really.
We haven't done anything legislatively yet. We are currently talking to DEO. Kristen is having that conversation with DEO. She talked to Sissy, who put her in touch with staff. They're actually going to talk today to see if there's anything they can do because of the timing issues with the current EDA grant. But if we can't get anything that route and with this round of the EDA grant, we will definitely have to go to the legislature or whatever DEO recommends to try to get more funding, because it's not just the $2 million that we're asking for now. Because if we miss this round on the EDA, it's 8.5. If we miss this one, it's probably only going to be about 3 from the EDA. So we'll have to make up that 5.5 gap. So, and then, as I think I mentioned earlier to Eric, is that we are going to, just as a way of an update on the incubator, we're going to IA on the 20th and ask for 22 $2 million.
Yeah, 22 million. I was like,
no.
Look forward to hearing how that goes.
Sorry, shouldn't stutter when you're talking millions of dollars. Okay? $2 million. So if you recall, FSU has pledged 2.5. We're looking for 2 from IA, 2 from FAMU, and 2 from the state to match the 8.5 from the EDA grant. if we don't get this round with the EDA, which has got the disaster supplement in it, then we're probably looking at only three from the EDA. The price of the incubator is only going to keep going up, as, right. as you know. But it's, if we assume $17 million, then we got to figure out where that other $5.5 is going to come from. And it's probably going to have to come from the legislature, which, you know, who knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still helpful to have those some of those partnerships yeah. already at the table.
Exactly, and I think, and that's been helpful to, you know, even with the IA ask is to have FSU's pledge, and they've pledged that for a year with the opportunity to extend it. So we do.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. We will have time to go and not just the legislature, but maybe even go out to the private sector and see what kinds of big dollar donors we might find that could be interested.
Is TCC in the game at all?
No. We asked. They were not able to participate. So that's kind of where we're at. So we submitted the information to Ben Pendry yesterday. So the agenda item is, I think, being prepared. It should be out next week. We're going and talking to all the commissioners in the next week and a half, leading up to the IA meeting, just to brief them, and then we'll present at the, I think it's at the workshop actually, on the 20th. So, back on the capital project. So this is the current year. The only thing in there is the 1.8 and the 15,000 for HVAC. We have kind of looked at some of the deferred maintenance items that we were talking about, including the overlay and ceiling striping and all on the parking lots. You can see those are pretty big numbers. So probably talking 100,000 altogether by the time we get there. And then we have some other different items that we need to do. I think we also have some doors that we need to replace. Things are rusting, and you know, but some of that will be done at regular maintenance. But we just kind of, the elevators, I think, are another thing that we're concerned about. There's some changing regulations related to elevators, and we may have to be doing some updating on those. They're also starting to look a little worn. So, but we'll do as much as we can out of regular maintenance operating expenses. And again, based on how the other recurring types of maintenance items go. Any more questions on the capital projects?
Just that the trails here, obviously a lot of that's got to be just money that rolled over from
the trails. Basically, the trail is paid for.
Yeah,
we already gave the money to the county.
Okay,
all of it. Much to April's chagrin.
Yes. Not that I don't trust the county. I like to pay for things after I see that they're done.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas, you know, government, they like to have all their money up front. So it is progressing. Actually, it's right on schedule. We did run into a little snag because of the historical artifacts and apparently there's some different areas around the pond that had previously been identified. So we had to pay $3,500 to have somebody go out there and tell us it's all okay. They dug up some stuff, but it turns out it was from the 19th or 20th century, not anything really, you know, of any historical research value. So that's still progressing. These cost estimates are still coming in right at that $185,000. It's amazing you put a 25% contingency in there, and that contingency goes away real quick because I think everybody sees that as the budget. So the 60% design has been completed. In the next week or so, we're going to be back walking the trail again, getting ticks all over us, just to see the final layout and how all that worked out. So,
if it's not next week but the following week, I'd be interested in walking that. I pulled leeches off.
I was going to say, layer up with D, because yeah. I'm telling you, the first time I went out there, I wasn't fully prepared, and I came back, and I was pulling ticks off all night. I mean, it was like I had a bunch.
Well, maybe I'll wait till the next go around.
So, yeah, the next time you should have seen me, I was fully head to toe, my hat, I had my boots taped up with duct tape, and I had none. So, it was good. Anyway, so that's done. They're going to permitting next, and then it will go out to bid as soon as that's done, and we'll see if we can get that, you know, get that price a little more competitive. So
if ticks are a problem, once it's built, is something going to be done to kind of eliminate
the problem? Well, there's a couple things. Right now, the reason ticks are a big problem is because you literally, on this side, you've got to crawl through the woods. I mean, there is no trail whatsoever, no path whatsoever. Yeah. Everything's jumping on you. My hope is that once we have, basically we're going with an 8-foot wide trail. Mm-hmm. We originally thought 6, but it's an 8-foot trail with probably at least two feet of sod on either side. Mm-hmm. You do that, and maybe we have to do some treatments around the sod. Mm-hmm. I think we can do that. The other thing, we were hoping there was going to be a little extra money in there that we could do more clearing around the pond. A lot of the brush, just to open it up. Mm-hmm. It's not looking like there's going to be a lot of leftover. Mm-hmm. But there are things we can do. The county folks in Public Works are very knowledgeable about all this. They're all telling me every kind of species of tree that's out here, and plant, and they said, oh, well, you can spray that stuff and it'll go away, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some options on how we can clear it out. And I think the more of that kind of stuff we can do, the
that's
more.
That's just a retention pond, is that right?
This?
The pond. It's not natural.
Natural.
Actually, I think from what we've seen, part of it was natural.
I see.
Like this half, I think. This half was natural, and then they expanded it at some point. We saw some earlier pictures from some of the reports they did, and it's kind of interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, of course, it was probably just, you know, cows or something that were drinking out of it, but you know, it was like a dairy farm, wasn't it? I think it was the FSU dairy farm. Right?
Okay.
Anything else on that? So basically, the bottom line is that we've got $15,000 in net operating income and about $15,000 in capital expenditures, not including the $1.8 million. So it's pretty as balanced as I could get it. And you can see, if you do the comparison, look at the comparison between the budget and the current year forecast. So current year forecast kind of being, you know, where we're actually at, and the proposed budget. There aren't a lot of differences other than the things that I've explained, you know, in that narrative. So it's the salaries because of hiring Michael, and the $20,000 on the FIPS repair. But other than that, there's just not a lot of differences. And as far as, and again, I don't know that we've got to go into this any more than I have, because it's kind of the same issues, but you can see these are the variances between what we budgeted for 2017-18 and what we're forecasting for the remainder of this year through September 30th. And this was as of the end of July. So we took up through July actuals and then forecasted August and September. Professional fees, we kind of left a little extra in there because we know with all the other stuff we've got going on that we're relying more and more on Melissa for advice instead of just waiting for, you know, a lease or a contract or something. So she's been very helpful.
Ron, can you explain the EEP program variance again?
Okay, so really it's kind of a net of the two. So we had budgeted 22.5. And we got none of that. That was the grant money that we were anticipating. So that's the majority of that negative. And then the other program income, what happened was the grant is no longer for the EEP program. It's actually for the SBI or SCTR program, which we have under other programs. So we shifted that down the line. That's why that went that direction. But that's actually, we only put $15,000 in it. We thought we were going to get three $7,500 payments. And now, based on the way the timing is going to work, we think we're only going to get the $15,000. So, and actually, it's not even going to be $7,500. It's split up differently now, based on the actual contract. So,
right. Does Michael have any thoughts about EEP, about funding sources and things like that? No, we've beat our heads.
Yeah, we took a swing at Hancock. He and Larry and And Dave Ramsey met with Hancock and tried to get them to see if they could use some of their CRA funds to do that, but they came back and said no. They didn't have it, so. I think there is more that he can do. It's just right now we're, you know, we've got our heads so buried in that EDA grant that, but I think when he comes up for air, I think that would be something we can do, whether it's EEP or the SBIR or whatever. He's very in tune with the grant writing stuff. Also, he's developed a very good relationship with David Teague at FAMU, and David is a grant writing machine, and he's just much better at grant writing than he is the operational side, which is why we had so much trouble getting that contract done. But and he admits it, and Tim Moore admits it, and so, but Tim likes that he can write these grants. So that relationship has been very helpful. They're working together on, I think, on other opportunities as they come up. You know, I think there may be some opportunities to do some more with FSU, like the SBIR SCTR program. We did that in partnership with FSU specifically, and that's going to be a really important component to the incubator going forward. So I do think there's stuff there. There's the I-Corps program. He's doing an I-Corps Light program, which has taken over what the College of Engineering was trying to do with Lawrence Tinker. You know, there might be some opportunities there, but right now we don't really have any costs related to that. It's mostly just food and beverage, but because the University of Alabama is actually coming down to teach the program. That's a situation that, again, David Teague helped facilitate. So he said it gets into how they set up all these nodes around the country, and Alabama happens to have
the EEP program?
No, the I-Corps.
Okay.
This I-Corps Light program. Which it qualifies you get to get into the full blown I-Corps program at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. You kind of got it's like a pre qualification. He calls it lineage. You have to have lineage in order to do this. So yes, Michael's very much attuned to that opportunity. We thought we had $125,000. He applied for this. Was trying to apply for this FAST grant, but it required the governor's signature. We thought we had it. All it took was a signature. It did not require any matching funds or anything from the state. But there's only one per state. No one else has ever applied for it. So we thought we would be able to get this in, and the governor wouldn't sign it. We had it all the way through DEO. It had been vetted.
Nobody asked Thrasher.
Trust me, if he wanted to sign it, he would have signed it.
Right.
Yeah, he could have. But so anyway, my point is that
I get it. It's priorities.
And now it's coming back around. So we'll go back after that again, and maybe there'll be somebody else in the governor's office that might.
There definitely will be. Well,
I mean, somebody that will help us.
Sure.
Yeah, anyway.
But the only thing I was just going to say is I've always heard, and I've actually not seen it for myself, but I know that EEP is an offshoot of a program at UCF that I know has achieved a lot of grant funding. Now they're much more advanced than we are. They've been at it longer. But it may be worth just sort of looking and seeing as they developed, or maybe even doing a conference call and saying, you know, year 3, year 5, year 10, where did you get
the good news
funding
is
from?
Michael has a relationship with Tom O'Neill from before. He had been scheduled to meet with him. He was going to go down for a VC conference or something. They were going to meet in Orlando and talk about these things. Unfortunately, we had to cancel that because of the EDA grant. But we'll get him back together with them. So.
I also think that it's not that big of a net, and we should take the lessons learned from the incubator in Gainesville. And asks for smaller donations that could help to offset it, because you know someone will give $250
yep.
or $500 or $1,000. It seems to me they would, and
yep.
we've involved in a lot of community members, so people have an awareness of it and the value of it.
Yep. So. And again, if we can get the 501c3s set up, I think those little smaller donations will be easier to get as well.
Yeah.
So we're working on all those pieces and parts. So, but I do appreciate the direction. Any other questions on these variances? So this night admin details is all reflected in there. It's basically what I've told you what we're doing. It's just I wanted you to see that we this is pretty accurate in terms of the numbers, particularly on the administrative stuff, on the salaries. It's based on those increases that we project and the number of months and all the taxes and benefits. And the only thing we don't know for certain is what happens with health insurance. But we just took last year's percentage increase and increased it again by the same percentage. And then all of these other details are, you know, the Thomas Al Ferguson contract, the Comcast contract. We did actually, Stephanie did a nice job of beating them up a little bit. You know, they came back and lowered their costs. And then
nice.
2 months later, they tried to increase it again.
Yeah.
So that's a never-ending battle. Then our internet got real slow, too, so who knows. Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of in this other stuff. We try to be as frugal as possible. Peggy knows. I won't let her buy paper clips at times. Yeah, professional fees. There's going to be some others. This is sort of the traditional cost. Melissa's been great. I mean, since I don't know if any of you were here when we had the fixed fee deal. Back when we were brought to sell, before we went to Clark Party and Hart with Melissa, they had a fixed fee deal. It was, I want to say, $45,000 to $50,000. I mean, it was crazy. And we got very poor service because they really was no incentive to really work. And then we were always, you know, they had something about hours, and the hours were nothing. And anyway, so since we went to a straight hourly rate, it's been so much better. And Melissa is very cognizant of not spending too much time on stuff that she doesn't need to spend time on. So, and she gets her underlings to work on it. So, but again, with all of that said, we still have to be prepared. We have some money for a strategic planning facilitator. Don't know that we're going to spend that, but since the direction from the board is that we hire a facilitator, I did actually yesterday talk to Joe Wallace, who's the executive director of the Orange County Research and Development Authority, who I met through the Florida Research Park Network. We actually had dinner 2 years ago, I think. Come to find out that he actually facilitated a strategic planning meeting with the board 15 years ago up here, and is familiar with the park. Obviously, things have changed in the last 15 years, but so the conversation we had yesterday is that he may not be the best person to be the facilitator, but he wants to participate. So he's willing to come up on his dime and just go through the thing with us, and he has some great insights because they are very much a build a building and lease it machine. And so they've got, he said, 11,000 employees in the park, the Central Florida Research Park, and they're trying to get to 17,000. So by way of comparison, I think we're at 2. So anyway, so he'll have some good insights, but I'm still kicking around who a good facilitator would be. I have one person in mind, but we used him in the JA strategic planning, but he's so married to his process, I'm a little concerned that that wouldn't work with our board. I don't see you guys putting sticky notes up on the wall. You know, it's just any questions on any of this? I think we covered a lot of this in the narrative. The contracts I mentioned. Any questions?
Just randomly, but if no more snags, when do we do our ribbon cutting for the trail?
Yeah, they said 60 days to construct. So permitting, bids, construction. The contract says, I believe it's April 1, it has to be done. So we're looking at spring, basically. Nice. I'm pushing them as hard as I can. It's not that they're dragging their feet. They're just slow.
No, it is.
I love you, Phil. Sure, you're a good guy.
I just remember, like, I think it was like 2 budget committee meetings ago, we were like, you know what? Let's build the damn trail. And it's like, to later, we're like,
later.
Which I get it. I mean, I know the process and everything.
Well, the thing is, it was a year ago when I happened to be talking to, I think it was Ben Pingree. I said, man, I just can't get to this trail. I can't. It doesn't seem like a big deal. I just can't get to the process and with the other stuff we were working on. He says, why don't you just call Public Works, have them do it. I went, they'll do that? I went, oh, sure. So, and they're charging us all of like $2,000 for, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what else can I get them to do?
Yep.
So, anyway, so that was educational for me to find out that we had those resources. Same thing just happened with Design Works. I had no idea that resource was there. I don't know if you're familiar with Design Works. I'm sure you are, but that's city planning, right? I mean, it's growth management. Their planning department has a design studio. Sorry. I'm on somebody's spam list. But they did all these conceptual site plans and everything, and all the way to the construction estimate for the EDA grant for the incubator. And it's awesome. You'll see it in the IA agenda item that it's all in there, and a free resource. I'm next thing up is I'm going to ask Jeremy to see if he can help me do a conceptual design on all the vacant space that we have on the park, and just say, hey, what would this look like if we put our little innovation village up here, and Dan Foss expands onto their 6-acre option up there, and you know, just so that when we go into strategic planning, we can say, hey, here's a vision of what the park might look like if we did all the things that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody built everything out. FSU built out their property.
In Innovation Way or whatever.
Yeah, Innovation Way. And what if FAMU puts a hotel conference center next to the Centennial Building and the golf course? You know, things like that. Just you know, throw a vision out there and start with something and see where it goes. So I think you might actually have more fun with that than the 40,000 square foot incubator. But
could FSU Hospitality to run the?
Yeah, and I said FAMU only because they control the property next to the golf course. But
well, great. A lot of hard work I know went into this, and although we'd like to see more. I mean, I'd like to see more income on some of these properties.
Me too.
Are there any other questions about the budget? From here, after we make a final vote, this will then go to the full board?
Does it
go to the executive committee?
It goes to the executive committee first.
Okay.
And that'll be on September 19th.
Okay.
And then the board on October 4th.
Okay, great. So do we have a motion to approve the budget?
Second.
And a second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those? No? Let's do it. Anything else you have, Ron?
No.
No business? $2 a square foot?
I know.
Oh.
Jeez. That's a killer.
I'll have to go back and look and see who negotiated that deal.
Yeah.
Can we adjourn?
Yes.
Yes, we adjourn.
Yeah.